Welcome to Sestercast, the Orphan Black podcast. I'm Jean McDonald, and I'm rewatching this series for the third time. My co-host, Kathy Campbell, is watching for the first time, and so we make sure not to spoil any storylines beyond the episode we are currently discussing. So, hey, Kathy, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited we're back on schedule, and I'm watching Orphan Black on a regular basis again because I missed it when we had a little time off.
It's pretty enjoyable. Yeah. It's great. It's great being able to get onto it and like be taking the notes instead of just enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited and get to talk to you. So that makes me happy too.
No, same here. I have to confess that I think because I've been feeling deprived, I started watching the episode once just for fun, a few days in advance, and then watching it a second time to take notes. And I'm like, there's no problem with that.
No problem at all. None.
Yeah. Apparently, I there's no limit to the amount of times I can watch these episodes.
Well, especially when you're concentrating just on the episode that you're watching instead of like binging a bunch of episodes together, it makes the experience completely different, I feel.
It does. And I believe when you were on hiatus, I mentioned to one of the guest co-hosts we had that as soon as we're done with the Sestercast lineup and get through the all 50 episodes, I'm going to start over again for a binge watch. Because I've missed binge watching Sestercast. I mean, I've missed binge watching Black. And then I'll probably binge listen to Sestercast because I'll be missing talking to you about Sestercast. And I can't even get these things straight.
Thankfully, our audience knows what we're talking about, even if we can't figure out the right words.
Right. So, anyway, we are talking about Orphan Black, by the way. This time we are talking about Season 3, Episode 7, which is titled Community of Dreadful Fear and Hate. And as always, this comes from the Dwight Eisenhower farewell address, and it's a really good quote. Again, I fished out the sentence that this title comes from, and it goes, "Down the long lane of the history yet to be written, America knows that this world of ours, ever growing smaller, must become a community must avoid becoming a community of dreadful fear and hate, and be instead a proud confederation of mutual trust and respect." Well, keeping my fingers crossed for that, but thank you, President Eisenhower, for your prescient thinking about world affairs.
Exactly. That is very accurate for nowadays.
Yes. We are trying to do everything we can to avoid supporting any kind of dreadful fear and hate. Instead, love and compassion and grace, which is the meaning of Orphan Black. It's a lovely show, even if there is a lot of punching and knives and violence and bleeding.
Right.
And speaking of which,
but the good guys win.
The good guys win
is nice.
Yes, that's so
far.
True.
Anyways.
So far. Yeah, there's always going to be ups and downs. And I'm not going to tell you how the whole series ends, but I wouldn't let you watch 50 episodes of it for you to be crushed miserably and depressed for the rest of your life. So, you know,
I'm very, very grateful for that.
So, speaking of knives and violence and bleeding, we open this episode in a Mexican cantina, and Helena is playing cards and winning money, as she is always apt to do. She makes things happen, and she's there with Sarah, and she flashes the money in front of Sarah and says, "Now we eat and drink." And
yes,
I love that. She's eat especially. And And then Helena mentions she will kill S for betraying her, which seems very doable. We've seen Helena's handiwork so far. And makes it, it's nervous making when she says that. And then,
yeah, it's, I don't know who I would actually think would win in a fight. But I was very pleased with how the confrontation went down.
Yes.
Because Mrs. S, first off, okay, so Helena only gets water. She doesn't get any cerveza because she's pregnant, which I thought was great that the bartender really seemed to take care of them, which was adorable. But right before the credits scene, Mrs. S swings open the door, and the lighting and her outfit and everything is just like, yes, Mrs. S is back. Because she's been, she's been on more of a depressive state, really feeling a level of guilt for what she did with Helena to protect Kira and Sarah. And so seeing her come back as the badass that she is really made me happy.
Yes, with that hat and that whole getup, it's like badass as usual. That was a really good moment. And as you say, then the credits roll. And when we get back to the cantina, S and Helena are sitting at the table, and S is telling her, what happened and why she gave Helena up to the Castor project. And she says, we have to talk this out, Helena. It's the only way. And then Helena says the line, I would like to have this on a t-shirt. First I eat, then we fight.
I love it. I love it so much. Because that is, you got to eat first. So you got to finish the meal. And as we know with Helena, Helena is very much an eat first type of personality. So that's I'm very much on the same level as Helena in that sense, especially when I was pregnant. Oh man, eating all the things.
But then you didn't fight, I hope.
No.
When Helena's finished eating, she says, okay, now we fight. And Mrs. S had asked her a question of what are you going to do with this? You're pregnant. What's going to happen with this child? And Helena says, she's going to find her boyfriend. Together we will drive tow trucks and make a home for our baby. And I'm like, that's a beautiful vision of a future family, the tow truck driving family of Helena, Jesse, and baby yet to be named.
And I love that she had this vision in her head. She's has had a very specific type of life where, one could almost imagine that money just shows up and food just shows up. She doesn't necessarily realize how capitalism works and whatnot. And the fact that she's no, we're going to drive tow trucks and that will help us feed the baby. She has that awareness, which is really cool, I thought.
Yeah. And then the fight begins. But S, she's very smart. She just basically won't fight back. She won't hit back. And she basically hugs Helena into submission.
She does hit once, and then, it triggers, and she's just oh my gosh, I am so sorry, and then just holds Helena and hugs, and it's she knows what she needed, and she knows how to get through the situation, and so by holding her and not letting her go, she's able to, keep that hugging and the emotions, and eventually Helena is just she just loses it, and is just okay, we're friends now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And, she says, it's okay. You're with family now, which is the thing that we know ever since season one is what Helena is most missing, and that we make a family is her big question about, her sestras, her associated sestra adjacent people like Mrs. S. and Felix. Right.
Well, and that's why it hurt Helena so badly with the fact that Mrs. S. betrayed her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so by letting Mrs. S. hold her and hug her and admit to being her family, it settled into a place that she's like, okay, you're still my family. We're okay. We're back into how we wanted to be. And I can trust you again, based mm-hmm. in my mind, is what they said.
Right. No, that's a good point. And then, you know, meanwhile, Sarah is pretty much out of the action. She goes off to clean herself up while S and Helena sort things out. But then she does get a chance to talk to S and tell her that Paul is gone. And, oh, and,
yeah,
you know, that even Helena said, so Paul turned out to be a good man at the end, which is nice.
Yeah, which was so sweet that, like, Helena was able to recognize it, you know? Mm-hmm. That made me happy.
Yeah. So I think we can leave the Mexican cantina, which I'm sure is interesting.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, yeah. Sarah is not the main character in this, the main clone, which is kind of cool.
No, that's true. And really, neither is Helena, just that she has to, you know, has to have this resolution with Mrs. S, and that is taken care of pretty quickly. So then we get to the real action adventure part of the story.
Oh, goodness. And what action adventure it was. Especially so in the last month or so, I've watched both Solo and Ocean's 8. So this whole like heist sense of things with Donnie and Allison going on was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so they are, they open with Allison is practicing her speech for, you know, the school board election that's coming up. Meanwhile, Donnie's following her around, taking her temperature and asking her questions. And I kind of forgot about this whole thing that they're still sending vital stats to Dyad, but that makes sense because, you know, there's health issues that need to be monitored. And where he asks her about her menstrual flow and she's like looking at him, but you know, meanwhile, she's thinking out loud what their plan for the day is, which is there's the election, fair, candidates fair, I guess they call it. But they also need to go to Bubbles to get her mother to sign over the company to them so that can be used as their drug front. And, you know, they have to bring the money to the big drug dealer, Pouchy, who is actually a character we already know. And
yes, I had forgotten we knew him until, further on, yes. Felix comments. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's where I know him from.
Right. He cut off Vic's finger. It's like, oh,
yes.
That's good. And his weapon of choice. I was thinking of you because yes. It's such an arts and crafts piece of equipment. But as Allison's enumerating this like long to-do list for the day, which has things on it that are just crazy. And then she goes like, and my menstrual flow is normal. And Donnie's with the clipboard. He's like, oh, thank you. And
I just thought that okay. Was yeah, you can tell Donnie's taking his job very seriously, his self-monitoring, especially since he unknowingly was already a monitor. And so he might as well do his job correctly now that he's aware of what's going on.
Good point. There's... So that they go to Bubbles and we have Allison's mom and she's the worst. I mean, she's just I wouldn't say she's the worst mom on the show because there's some that are even more horrible than her, but wow, just her whole like little, needling Allison and needling Donnie. But, you know, she's like, I don't know if this is such a good idea. Mr. Chubb's here, just lost his job. And I'm like, Rude. I totally forgot that Chubbs was Donnie's last name.
Right. I don't know if I missed it or what, but
no, you wouldn't have known.
Okay.
Until now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Until now. Yeah.
I knew that, I remembered that there was this thing that Allison had actually insisted that Donnie take her name, which I thought was very Allison, and that Hendrix was not Donnie's original last name, but I forgot Chubbs was his last name. So.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So it's not going well. And the mom says she's got to think about it a little more. And then Allison sees a Marcy Coates poster in Bubbles, which is her evil opponent for the school board. And she's thinking, I can't believe I have this mother.
Right. And it says so much about Allison's personality and how she was raised, because she always has to prove herself, basically. And poor Allison is never good enough. And Connie, her mom is just the worst. I mean, obviously not the actual worst, but like we said, she's not very nurturing. She's not the best.
I mean,
not even top five.
Yeah, we'll go back to the mom list and figure out where she ranks later. But I think, yeah, exactly. We know she's not the absolute worst, but she's not even close to being a good mom. And so then next on Allison's to-do list is they have to meet up with Jason. They've got two things on their list. One is to deliver signatures for the election campaign, to get Allison on the ballot. And the other is to deliver $30,000 to Pouchy. And the envelopes look exactly the same.
Which you would think that Allison would, write the goal on the outside of one of them or color something, but I guess, it sets up the comedy of errors.
Yes.
But when they pull up to the outside of the Chinese restaurant and Donnie's holding the envelope, I was like, oh no. Like you see the setup.
Yeah.
You see it coming and it still hits hilariously.
Yeah, they had to. I mean, it was definitely out of character for Allison. I think she would have labeled, used a label maker and labeled the envelopes. But she didn't. There's also, a polite way to put this, but Donnie and, just trying to show off in front of Jason and giving Allison a big smooch before they go off, see Pouchy, and he's like giving him the look like, yeah, I got, she's mine now. And as soon as he's walked away, Jason just looks at Allison and says, I'll take care of him. It's like, he's just not going to cut it. And that's, of course, big time foreshadowing of how things are not going to go well.
Let's be honest, it's with Donnie, that's how it's going to happen.
Yes. They go in there. Well, Donnie says, they know who I am, right? Like, everything's copacetic. And Jason's like, when we're in there, don't use words like copacetic. They go in, they meet Pouchy, and Pouchy's like, oh, I don't speak English, no English. And Donnie starts speaking Portuguese to him, which is like, whoa, that's pretty cool.
I agree.
Right? And he's like, yes, my grandfather had a... a place in Portugal, and that's where I learned Portuguese. But the fact is, no one even cares. It doesn't win them over even one iota.
No, not at all. The Donnie's like, oh, I'm coming in here. I got my Portuguese. I'm being all classy. I got my together. Oh my goodness, I totally just swore. Sorry. Okay. I got my stuff, and he's all like flirting with the girl, and then
right,
he
brings out the envelope.
envelope over, and it is not what expected.
Yeah. And there, you know, then Donnie's like, all his Portuguese swagger totally disappears. He's trying to speak some Portuguese, but he's basically then just like, it's just a mistake. My wife has the money. I have the signature. She's running for school board. Again, nobody cares. And how much they don't care is Donnie's like, oh yeah, let me just go run, get the money. And Pouchy's henchman bodyguard guy just blocks Donnie from leaving, and Pouchy says, you go to Jason, he stays. So Donnie is the hostage for the money. And I just loved how this was such a great Donnie episode. I mean, the acting, the character, just, I love him so much now.
Yeah. It's so great, especially because, you know, we've seen him becoming more of an adult, I guess you could say, you know, taking mm-hmm. control of things. And yet he still manages to screw things up and is still like, yes, Allison has to come save the day again, but he's appreciating it this mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. you know, which is really, it's impressive, especially when you're being tortured, yeah. as happens in the future.
Right. So yes, things are not looking good for Donnie at this moment. And meantime, over at the candidates forum, Allison gets a call from her mother, who I think Felix says, your mother, she's having a heart attack. And Allison, right. like, a real one.
And, yeah, you can just tell that their interaction, and yet Allison still goes to her.
Right away.
Still, like, has to check on her, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't want... Yeah, I mean, she's still the dutiful daughter. And, yeah, and Felix, it's great to have him in the whole mix as the campaign manager.
Oh, Allison. My gosh, he's the best.
He does some fun stuff. So, meanwhile, Felix also knows that Cosima is coming. And to back it up a little bit, Cosima needs to get some of Allison's pee.
Because Delphine has requested a urine sample to check the proteins for the Castor boys. Like, something's going on with that, yeah. and she needs another urine sample. And Cosima is just like, nope, not going to work, not going to happen, but doesn't tell Delphine no. that. She's just like, no, I'm going to do this my way, and goes to get it from Allison. Yeah.
She's very much like, you know, Delphine has invaded her space. She comes over to Shay's apartment uninvited, and even Shay says, like, whatever this is, you know, it's not cool. And
right.
again, it's that somber Delphine, whose blonde hair is not so blonde anymore, I think, and not so yeah. fluffy, and she's very serious. And I think, you know, Cosima is just like, you know, I'm not going to play her game. I'm going to get somebody else's pee, you know, that will pass for mine. So Cosima, let's see, Cosima arrives looking for Allison, and Allison is gone, and Felix just grabs Cosima and is like, okay, put on this campaign t-shirt. Allison's not here. We're having a bloody crisis. And they have these knit hats for their campaign, these pink knit hats.
Which are adorable.
Also Allison with big white pom-poms on it. So, you know, that piece of costuming, you know, was meant to cover up Cosima's hair, and they put it on the hat. But of course, Cosima doesn't have bangs, and Felix is like, you need bangs. Bangs that say unhappy sexless marriage. And he has a little, you know, piece, you know, that he puts under her cap that gives her bangs. And so now she looks like Allison, because it has to take off her glasses too. So
Right. Which we also learn how blind Cosima is.
And this is, she's like, everything is going, and now everything goes like completely haywire in terms of like the show itself. The pacing just like basically jumps from scene to scene, like with one line at a time, and there's no way to like sort them out into separate scenes. So I think you and I are just going to go through the rest of the show kind of chronologically, because at this point Allison's over back at Bubbles talking to her mom, and she's pissed because her mom is not going to sign the papers, and she's still picking on her about everything. And Allison's like, I'm never good enough for you. I'm the, you know, dramatic daughter doesn't choose her husband correctly, and I'll never be on stage. And her mother, you know, is very, she manipulates her. And at that point,
oh yeah,
Allison's like, forget this. I'm going back. I have to make a speech. And then she tears down the Marcy Coates poster and says, I'm going to recycle this.
Which was so Allison.
But when Allison gets to the school, so she can see that Cosima is doing photo ops on her behalf, you know, and Cosima can't see anything, but Allison says fudge, as you know.
She walks in and sees that.
Then Jason comes and is like, we've got a problem. So he needs to get the money from Allison so he can get Donnie out away, you know, away from Pouchy. And at that moment, Allison's mom walks in too.
And I love the conversation that Jason has with Allison, because first seeing Jason there is never a good thing. And Allison goes, where's Donnie? Is he in danger? And Jason goes, short answer, yes. And I was just like, oh my goodness.
Right.
And then Connie walks in and Allison goes, holy freaking Christmas candy. This is such an episode full of Allison isms, yes. And it just makes me happy.
Yeah. And so then her mother, in, you know, usual fashion of like making everything about her, like says, I have to talk to you right now. And she takes her, I guess they go, well, I'm even confused, and I wrote notes, but there was, but she wants to tell Allison that it wasn't just IVF, she got special sperm for her pregnancy because she didn't think her husband was the best supplier of DNA material. So so her mom thinks Allison is her child, but she doesn't know, and Allison's gonna lay it on her in a second. But meanwhile, she leaves her mom in the classroom and she sees Jason and she says, can you go talk to my mom? And of course her mom loves Jason from when they were boyfriend and girlfriend together
in
high school. And yeah, I thought that was a nice scene with Connie and Jason looking at the old photos in the glass case at the high school and of Allison and Jason together, and Jason doing a really nice turn for Allison and Donnie by talking up Allison and saying, like, you know who's going to wear the pants in that business anyway, because
obviously Allison is in charge.
Allison is in charge. And Allison's trying to explain to Felix, like, how she has to...
what's going on.
And I didn't realize until that point that Felix wasn't clued in to their latest money-making venture.
Yeah, I didn't realize either. And this is when we learn that Pouchy is reminded, yes. At least I was reminded that Pouchy was the one that cut off Vic's finger. And I was just like, oh.
Right.
Huh.
That's right. And Felix says, like, there are not two Pouchies, darling.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, they show Donnie back at the warehouse trying to speak Portuguese again and be all like, hey, how's it going. So like, so do you do like body work here or just tune-ups? And it's like, oh my God, Donnie can't sit still and be quiet.
Well, and it's not appreciated either because Pouchy like thinks that Donnie is just not taking him seriously. Yeah. And that's what they decide to threaten slash torture him with the paper cutter. And he calls Allison, who's like also learns that what's her face is in the parking lot.
The niece, Pouchy's niece.
Yes, Pouchy's niece has to. So Allison needs to deliver the money to her, and she's like, "Oh, but the speeches are just about starting." But obviously, they don't care.
They don't care.
At all. And so Allison is like, okay, I have to go to the parking lot. Like, yeah. To save my husband, I have to deliver the money to the niece in the car, in the very nice Porsche. And so Felix is like, okay, let's go get Cosima to deliver the speech.
Right.
Which is going to end up just as well as you think.
Yeah. So Allison's stuck in the car with the niece counting the money. And being very, very tough-nosed about it, and Allison distracts her.
Well, especially because Allison's like, I have to speech. It's all there. You don't have to count it. And so she starts the count over again, which is like, oh, what a jerk move. Yeah.
And so then Pouchy gets a phone call. The niece tells him, apparently, that she got the money. And so Donnie's nose does not get cut off by a paper cutter. They let him go. And
yes.
Meanwhile, Cosima is up there on stage trying to pretend to be Allison. It's one of the funnier clone pretending to be clone scenes, I think, ever. She starts out not too bad, you know. She can't read the cards. That's the problem. She doesn't have the glasses, so she can't even read the notes for the speech. But she just starts riffing on, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about family values. And I think the most important value is to, you know, accepting your family for who they are. And then she goes, like, as a lesbian. And then the whole audience is like, oh. Cosima remembers, no, she's supposed to be Allison.
She's not herself. She's like, yeah.
As a lesbian supporter, you know, I can't color inside the lines, you know. And Cosima goes off stage because real Allison is in the wings and they swap. And meantime, Cosima's going down the hallway and Jason catches up to her and says, right. I have this really big idea, and just like grabs her and gives her a big smooch. And it's Cosima who's like,
so confused because she has no idea who this Jason guy is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was super cute. And
that was so adorable.
And she walks off like kind of how Allison might do it. You know, it's so that just like you just confused the heck out of me and I can't talk to you right now. So that worked. But Allison gets up on the stage and she continues coughing as Cosima was coughing when she left the stage, you know, so, you know, she's.
And the line where she comes back on and she's got her glass of water and she goes, something Marcy Coates said is caught in my throat, which I thought was so funny.
That was really
like,
funny.
Way to get that dive, like just like stab it.
And then she goes into her she starts to give her speech that she's been practicing, but then she just drops the index cards and starts speaking extemporaneously in one of the great speeches from Orphan Black. You know, she starts out family. That's my agenda. You know, sometimes the family is more than just the people under your roof. It's the people who jump in headfirst to help you. They don't hide their faces in shame when you fall down. If your family is bigger than you expect it and your house is too crowded, do you tell your family they need to find a new place to live? And of course, this is all about the key issue in this school board election is whether they're going to change the school boundaries and cut Allison's family out of the school that her kids have attended so far. You know, Allison's like, you make room, you adapt, you find creative solutions to live together. And this goes so well with the title of the show, by the way. I'm getting goosebumps just reading my little notes. And then the last bit, our schools are our family. I will not divide us. I will be your mother hen, and I will keep our chicks together. I'm like crying right now just thinking about it, are you?
everyone else felt the same way. You know, the standing ovation, and this triggered even Connie, which is a big thing. So Allison's in the bathroom now with Cosima. Allison's trying to pee for her. And Cosima tells Allison that Jason kissed her. Yeah. And you can just tell how Allison reacts to it. She's just like, oh, he kissed me. Right. Like, because obviously Jason thinks that it was her. And so she's having this, not necessarily a crisis of faith, but is just like feeling very happy, I guess, that her, you know, ex-boyfriend still has feelings for her, feeling wanted. And that I can definitely see how she needed that, especially with how she was treated by Connie. And Connie comes into the bathroom to give Allison the compliment of you soared out there, which I thought was super sweet, and like handed over the paperwork. And it's just like, well, maybe Jason Kellerman will still be waiting for you, like in the future.
Right. She couldn't help herself. She's like, of course, you know, give yourself some time and you'll realize like, you want to dump Donnie. And that just, you know, after her mother hen speech and her family speech and how she's like, I am taking care of my family. And I mean, Donnie is her family. She's it's like, okay, mom.
This is it. Nope, you're not done. It brings out Cosima and introduces her as her clone, which I was just like, what? Where is this? But of course, like, and is explaining how Connie got screwed over and that it wasn't her embryo. It was a clone put in at all. And like the mom does not believe it. Like she's just completely like, well, whatever. Like I don't believe you. It doesn't matter. Basically making it all about her.
Right. And she says, you think that girl is your clone? You know. That girl's mulatto. It was just like, what? Like, that just like shows you where her brain is. And she can just create a story that works for her, which is, well, I know I was fooled because they told me I was going to get that sperm exclusively, but obviously they were handing it out. And what a weird coincidence that you met somebody who was fathered by the same sperm donor. So that's that.
Yep. And it's like, that was not the reaction I was expecting, but it's not surprising either as I think about it. But I was also expecting that to be like the end of the episode.
Yeah. No, there's of course, Allison says to Cosima, you know what? I'm not giving you the pee, which I feel sorry for Cosima because she went through a lot for that pee. But she's like, I'm not, you're coughing, you're sick, you're, you know, and you're going to tell me what's wrong. And so then they, next you see Cosima in the bathtub, the fabulous bathtub at Shay's apartment. And I think that's Shay's apartment. And, you know, she says, I'm going to tell you the truth. I have a pretty serious health issue. It's an autoimmune disorder. It affects this tissue. I've already forgotten. I did not write all my science notes for this.
Endometrial cells, and it's affecting her lungs and her uterus. Mm-hmm. Shay very, you know, kindly just is like listening to her and is being comforting until she like starts freaking out a little bit because Cosima is bleeding a lot into the bathtub.
It's pretty dramatic and scary and shocking little scene.
Yeah.
So, and then, then
we have another clone.
Has a small but important role in this episode, and it's Rachel. She comes into the lab in the early part of the show. She's coming in to get her, you know, tests done by Scott, and Delphine is there, and she sees Scott has been playing a tabletop game, Agricola, with his nerds, and they have to leave while he does this testing. But Rachel also sees that Scott has the copy of The Island of Dr. Moreau, right?
Well, Scott shows it to her. So Scott knows, talks to Cosima on the phone at one point earlier and is like, look, I think Rachel knows how to use this. Like, I think she knows how to use this as the key and get the translation and for the code and get that information. And so Rachel is facing Scott getting blood drawn and whatnot. And Delphine is facing away. And so Scott pulls out the book from underneath, like a map or piece of paper or something, and shows it to Rachel. And Rachel is like, basically, it's like, I want to learn to play the game as a way to have some private time away from Delphine. Right. And so Scott is like, yeah, totally. Let's do this, I guess, basically. Mm-hmm. And so the scene cuts to at this point, like interspersed in between. But Scott is explaining the game. And Rachel is just like, I just want the book. Like,
you have my book, she says.
Yes, you have my book. And Scott's like, no, we're going to make this real. And is like, if someone walks in, we can't just like pretend. Right. And is like very much going to teach the game, or at least set it up so that it looks like it's doing the full game. And I love when he does hand over the book and hands the pencil, and it's very similar to the pencil that took out her eye, and Rachel's face is just like,
That's a very good, one.
Yeah, it was really funny, especially how Scott holds it up, because he knows how it all went down, and it was very amusing. And you could tell, because earlier Scott mentioned how he was afraid of her. And so he's trying to take control of this situation so he's not scared, because Rachel still scares him. And so she gets a pencil and starts doing some sort of like connect the dots thing. And so Scott is like, all right, I want the definition. And we learn that Rachel is only going to tell Sarah what the translation is.
Yeah. So I'm dying to know.
I know. We'll have to wait. We'll have to wait till
next episode. And I think when you and I were texting about this, and it's just been such a joy to watch this season with you, because I mentioned how I forgot there were two really awesome Allison and Donnie episodes in a row. Because of course, last week we had the money dance on the bed, which is one of the all-time great Orphan Black scenes. But the whole Allison making her speech and Donnie being, you know, held hostage for the money, that was very exciting. And all the Cosima stuff, and then Rachel and Scott, very fun stuff together, you know, seeing them do that. And of course, I'm like, you know, the casters are out of the story now. And it's we still have, after this one, three more episodes to go. And this is a great season of Orphan Black, and I'm glad, because I'm glad I didn't have to drag you through like a sophomore slump season or whatever.
Right. Well, and I wonder, because I think I remember you mentioning something where people don't really like season mm-hmm. three, that they'd, for whatever reasons. And I think if you are sitting down and just binge watching it, I can see how this could be not as like intense or whatnot as the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, it has some softer episodes, and yet if you're watching it episode by episode, even this episode, which when we mentioned, we were talking about how it's a lighter episode. Like there's some revelations and whatnot, but it's not this huge dramatic, nobody dies.
Right.
We don't, you know, we come off of Paul's death and whatnot. And it's not a big Helena or Sarah episode, which have historically been some more dramatic of the episodes, but it's still just looking at the episode itself, we have some intense information. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn about Allison's mom and really that set up who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. We have this Scott and Rachel showdown. We have some delightful Felix stuff, and we have this interaction with Cosima, but also like her health issues coming back. Yeah. You know, she was getting better and she's definitely not anymore. And so I can see how people would think it's not as important or special or, you know, slower, but it really is just a good episode, a good season. I'm really enjoying this season, as heartbreaking as it is.
I'm so sorry for you.
I miss Paul.
I'm sorry about Paul. If I could have made that not happen, I would have.
I know. And I can see it. I can understand it. But Paul was my favorite.
Well, I guess we're ready to wrap this episode up. Even as light as it might have been, we could go on forever.
I know, but we're not going to. So if you would like to have conversations with us, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at SestraCast. Jean is at MacGenie. I am at Mrs. Soup. You can find all the rest of the show episodes on SestraCast.com. We are part of the absolutely fantastic Incomparable Network, and we hope you have the most amazing day.